Would you bow your heads with me real quick and let's just pray for today's service, for the message. Father God, I thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for that love, that reckless love, love that has no fear of anything that might happen, that goes at it 100%. God, your perfect love that casts out all fear. I pray for today that you would speak to each and every one of us, that we would experience your love, and it would move us to love one another. We pray these things in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know about you, but in my house, when I talk with my boys, I constantly am telling them, this is who we are. As Gullicksons, we are these things. We have these identity markers that we start to instill in our family at a young age. When we're at the dinner table, we have conversation about it. We say things like, Gullicksons are sharers, because we want our kids to learn how to share. We are helpers. We will help people regardless of what's going on. We'll stop and help. We're loyal. We put people in a high priority. We commit. Once we're with people, we are with them. We're hard workers. We're one-trippers. Anyone else a one-tripper? You know what I mean? You go grocery shopping, you pull up into your driveway. There's no multiple trips. You load up the bags, and Gullicksons are one-trippers. You get in the house with everything. It's fun. Thea's already working on it, carrying that stuff. Gullicksons aren't picky eaters. This is a constant conversation right now with my middle child, Owen, and he is pushing it. He doesn't know that he's a Gullickson yet. Gullicksons aren't picky eaters, but one thing that we make sure, we are meat eaters. We love eating meat in our house. See, there's certain behaviors that I'm instilling in my kids. Certain things that I want them to be known for, that they realize this is just who we are. God has a lot of different identity markers that he's passed on to us as children. But one of the biggest ones, the biggest marker of being a child of God that the Bible talks about is our love for others. See, living whole, as we continue on and we wrap up this series next week, living whole is only possible with love. God's perfect love sets us free and produces love for others. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. See, it's an identity of who God is. God is love, and he passes on that identity marker into his children. Today, we're going to spend time looking at this and really diving in to the love of God and the love that is produced through us to others. So to start, why love? Why is love so important? You know, I'm cool with loving God, right? That's okay. God loves me. I love him. But people, do we have to love them? Do we have to love people? Like, really? Like, what about that person that, oh, man, none of you. I love all of you, right? Why love? Why is it so important? Well, let's look at it. The first thing that love is, why love is so important. Love is an act of obedience to God. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, God commands us to love. It's not something that's optional. It's not something that you get to pick and choose. It's a commandment from God. So when we love others, it's an act of obedience to God. It's an act of obedience and love to God. Romans chapter 13, verse 9 through 10. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be, get this, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, you think about it. You remember the Ten Commandments, right? There's a whole list of them, and then there's a bunch of other ones that go through in the Old Testament. And there's all these laws, all these things that we have to keep. And then Jesus comes in and he says, here's the deal. Love God and love others. And if you do that, like if you really do that, I had a conversation with my son the other day. He was having a hard time with loving others. And so we talked and I said, look, buddy, if you just love, if you have love for people, if you have love for your brother, you're not going to go out and do the wrong thing of hitting him. You're not going to go out and do the wrong thing of stealing. If you're thinking about loving him, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to lie. You're not going to hurt him. See, all the other commandments, they get filled up. They get taken care of when we put love front and center. Love is the commandment that God gives us because that's the one that, love is the thing that it creates space for everything else to fall away. Love covers a multitude of sins. The second thing of why we should love, well, love is a product of abiding to God. Love is an indicator of how you know that you are staying close with God. John 15, verses 10 through 12. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And John 15, 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. What Jesus is saying here is you cannot love if you don't abide and remain in him. The minute you step away from him, love is not going to flow out of you. Now, yes, you might say, oh, well, I can love people. I see a lot of people that don't know God and they love, but I'm not talking about just love that picks and chooses. I'm not talking about a love that has nothing behind it. I'm talking about perfect love. Love that goes beyond any wrong that's done. Love that can turn the other cheek over and over again. Love that will go the extra mile, that will give selflessly. That kind of love only exists when you abide with the Father. Romans 12, 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. I want to bring this passage of scripture up real quick because, see, it's not saying hate who is evil. A lot of times we put a face on evil and we say, that person, that's evil. It doesn't say hate who is evil. It says hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Good is easy to understand. God is good. He's good and perfect in every way. We cling hold to him. But hate what is evil, it's not a person. And we get this perspective wrong often. We think people are our enemy. People are not evil. Actions and choices are, but people are God's. He loves us. He loves every single one of us. When we abide in him, we're able to see people in a different perspective. When we abide in him, we start to see who people really are, and we recognize the beauty, even in the midst of all the choices and the wrongdoings. We can recognize that they are still a child of God. The third reason of why we should love, or why it's so important, loving others is a response to God's perfect love for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, it's like breathing. God gives us the breath. He breathes into us his love. We receive perfect love from him. And because we receive it, we breathe it out into everything. I know that's weird talking about it when you think about germs and sickness and COVID, but we're breathing out love onto everyone. And it's not our breath, it's what God has already breathed into us, his perfect love. It's a response of his love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. See, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a product. It's produced out of the love of who God is. God has given us his Spirit, and he loves us, and it just overflows as we connect and stay with him. See, when my kids love each other, it makes me smile. I love watching them love each other. I don't like watching them hate on each other or hurt each other or treat each other in a bad way, but man, I love watching them love each other. I could just sit there and enjoy that. And I think about God. When we actually stop and we love in a real, pure way, how the Father must feel. It also shows the love to the parent, right? When my kids are taken care of, when my kids are loved by people, the youth group, you guys do such a great job. Students, I know you're sitting in different places, but I want to say this. We have the best students. They love my kids, and they love your kids. Many of you are a product of experiencing that as well. They love. And when they love, parents, when your kids are loved by our students, don't you feel loved? I know I do. It's the same thing with God. When we take time and we love one another, it is a response to loving God. He gives us love and we give it back to him by loving one another. So what stops us from loving others? What's this challenge that happens in our life? We receive love from God. Why is it that we struggle so much? You look on the news and there's a lack of love. You walk around the store and you just see people that are tense and bitter and angry, and there's no love in Target or Costco. Oh. I love going to Costco. I don't feel loved in Costco. Well, let's look at that. The first thing that stops us from loving others is a lack of experience. My question to you today is, have you ever experienced God's love? Have you really experienced it? Not do you know it, do you read it, but have you experienced his love? It's one thing to read about it, but it's another thing to actually hear him say, I love you. It's also a thing of when we lack experience of love from other people. There's trauma in our lives. So we don't experience love from God. And when we don't experience love from others, it can really mess us up. Some people here have had some really bad experiences with relationships, or maybe a lack of them. Maybe you've had a broken family and you haven't experienced love as a child, or in a marriage that you've seen broken and hurt, friendships that have been destroyed. See, these broken experiences or the absence of good experiences can affect how you love others. But there is hope. The second thing, we'll get to that hope, don't worry. The second thing is the wrong focus. If we don't love others, one of the indicators might be that you have the wrong focus. See, as long as our focus is on us, we're unable to see others as important, and we're unable to really love them. As long as our focus is on us instead of God, we're not able to really hear and experience his love and then share it with others. When our focus is on us, we're so focused on how are people treating me? What are they doing for me? What do I feel in this moment? Why am I not getting enough attention? Why am I not acknowledged? Why did they say that to me? Why did they look at me this way? We're not thinking about other people at all. And see, that's driven with fear that we're not enough, that we don't have enough time to care about others, that we don't matter. See, when I'm out of focus, when my attention is on me and what I think I don't have, I'm self-centered. I'm insecure. I'm bitter. I avoid relationships. Man, I avoid them hard. When I am focused on myself, I don't throw myself out there to try and just be loved by everyone. I'm so reclusive. I avoid. I don't want to talk to people because I don't want to get hurt. So I don't put myself out there to share that love of God that he's given me with others. The third thing that might stop us from loving others, and this is a progressive list, as you see, the lack of experience. If you don't experience his love, then you don't really know how to turn your focus onto him versus yourself. And the third one is believing the lie. As you lack the experience of love from God, and as you put your focus on yourself, you start to believe the lies from the enemy. I'm not lovable. No one can love me. I've done too much wrong. And then it produces this thing. If I'm not lovable, why should they get love? They don't deserve it. That person, no, they've messed up so many times. They're my enemy. See, a lack of knowing or understanding we're loved by God produces this void in us. It produces this lie. It produces this vacuum that sucks out the love and joy inside of us. We start to believe this lie, you have to earn God's love. We spend too much time trying to be loved. We'll never feel loved by God if we think we need to earn his love. And if we need to earn his love, then we believe that others need to earn love as well. See, loving others then becomes optional. It becomes optional when we buy the lie that God's love for us is circumstantial. See, we kind of look at people in this way where we look at loving them kind of like a potluck. I show up to the potluck, I go, oh, prime rib, I'm all over that. I'm going to get thirds. Oh, those little lumpias, those egg rolls, yeah, I'm getting those. The cream spinach, nope. We pick and choose who we love, because if we think that God's love is circumstantial, then we can treat everyone else with, well, you deserve love, you don't. You do, you don't. Have you ever done that? I know I have. I'm guilty of that. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm speaking truth today about it. See, love's not a feeling. It's a conscious choice or decision. But we're called to love everyone. Love is a choice, but we should never choose who to love, because God calls us to love all people. He doesn't say you get to pick and choose, you get to pass by the cream spinach. No, you got to take it. You got to love that person. Doesn't mean you have to always like what they do. You don't have to be their best friend and hang out with them. You don't have to talk to them through text message all the time, but you got to love. Have real love. Because God is love, and if he's in you, there's no option to do anything different. I want to take some time right now. I've talked about this experience with God, and I realize that if you haven't experienced his love, then we can't go any further. So I want to take some time and give you an opportunity to hear from God in this space right now. We've been doing this thing of listening prayer where we've learned to hear from God. Pastor Sean talked about this a few weeks ago in his message on hearing from God, and I want to just give you the space. So if you do this with me, would you bow your heads and close your eyes so you're not distracted? And I want you to just let God's creative work in your mind flow. God gives us our imagination. It's just visualizing. It's just seeing. You know, it's easy for me to ask you, like, where's your favorite vacation spot and your favorite thing that, and you could picture it right away. What's your favorite food? You could picture it. So I want to ask you just in your own space, picture a place that just, there's peace. For me, I like to sit by a lakeside. I see myself sitting there at a lake with trees all around. And I want you to picture Jesus. Jesus is the physical image of an invisible God. Picture him. And Jesus, we ask you, speak to us right now. You call me to love others. When I have the wrong focus or believe a lie, I'm not able to love others the way that you call me to. Would you give us wisdom right now? Picture him in this space and ask him to give you wisdom right now, to speak to you right now. And I want you to ask him this question. Jesus, what is one lie that I believe about your love for me? What's one lie that I believe about your love for me? And ask him to share with you. You might see an image in your mind. You might hear words or a thought. But just acknowledge that. Whatever that thing is, that lie that you believe about his love, God, I believe the lie sometimes, God, that your love can change for me. I don't believe that it changes for others, but I struggle with the belief that when it's me, I'm the one that your love could change for. And I know that's a lie. Just hold on to that thought, and we're going to continue as we go on. But I want you to just have that in your mind. You can open your eyes. If you haven't heard from him, it's okay. We'll take some time in a little bit to do some more. I want to go into the next part right now. How can I love others well? We talked about why it's so important. We talked about what stops us from loving others. But how can I love others well? There's three simple things that I have for you today. The first one is to experience God. If lack of experience is the issue, then we need to experience God. We need to experience who he is. We need to know him. We need to experience him. We need to fully surrender to him and experience that love. 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. See, God is the one that casts out all fear. God is the one that casts the lies and pushes them away. He erases them. He is the one that redeems you, transforms you, and gives you hope. And so you need to experience him. I love this verse. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." This is a truth statement right here. "I have redeemed you," says God. "I have summoned you by name. You are mine." In these moments when you experience lies, when you're experiencing fear, when you're questioning who you are, when you're not sure if you're loved, remember, he says, "You are mine." He is a God of love and he is perfect. So if he says that you're his, man, he means it. See, experiencing God removes fear because God is perfect love. 1 John 4:18, and I'm so thankful we sang this song today. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." See, you cannot give what you don't have. We have to start with experiencing God's love. In order to go out and be his disciples and be the children of God that love people radically in a way that is contagious, infectious, that and sound like COVID, but it's good, that produces and brings good fruit into the world, that brings transformation and change, that breaks down barriers. If we want to see that happen, we first have to experience his love. You cannot give what you don't have, and you don't have what you have not experienced. See, you could be handed a present, but until you open up the present and you experience what the present is, you don't know what it's like. You don't understand it, and you can't share it with others. If you have not experienced God's love, how are you going to share that love with others? I want to go into our next prayer time right now. Would you bow your heads with me? This is where, go back to that spot and let's experience God's love here. Picturing Jesus, the visible representation of an invisible God. Ask him right now, "Jesus, what do you want me to know about the idea of love? What does your love look like? What does your love feel like? What does it sound like? Jesus, what does your love look like?" Ask him this right now. "What does your love look like for me?" And now listen. I ask him that right now. I'm at that lakeside. I can picture it, and that the water is just rushing. It's a wave that's just flowing and constantly hitting. And Jesus is saying, "That's my love for you. That's my love for you. That it's constant. It's just going to keep coming. It's going to keep hitting, and it is good. It's the water's washing away every lie, every fear. His love is washing it away." whatever God showed you, whatever he spoke to you, whatever he is just giving you an experience of his love right now, let's thank him for that. We thank you, Jesus, for your truth. I know this is just one moment, but I pray, God, that we would continue to do this throughout the day, that we would experience your love for us, your truth. Once we've experienced God's love, the second thing to do is to believe the truth. You have to believe the truth. I'm not going to go long on this point because it's real simple. The enemy wants to slam you with the lies. The enemy wants to take what you just heard from God and replace it with a lie. Believe the truth. You are loved. Know that you are loved. God is love, and he lives in you, and he sees you and loves you. You are loved, and you have his love inside of you. Receive it. And the third thing to love others is to obey and follow. Jesus said, you have to follow after me. Pick up your cross. In other words, take that false thinking and get rid of it and believe the truth. You are loved. Now go and love others. God commands us to love others. He loves them. And this is where the action happens. This is where the transformation happens. Up until now, it's been internal inside of us. But if it gets rectified, if it starts to produce something, it has to come out and do something. Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, because you are his children, walk in the way of love. This is active. You can't stop. You can't just sit there and go, all right, great, I feel loved and I'm good. No, go and walk in love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Go and love others. Love them, because that is the identifying marker of a child of God. Because that's who he calls you. You are loved. I want to wrap up today with one more listening prayer. Go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Go back to that space. We've asked Jesus for that lie. What is the lie I believe? We've asked him for the truth of what he says about us. We've asked him to show us the experience, an experience of his love. And now we're going to talk to him about loving others. Jesus, just as you love me, I know you command me to love others. Just the way you love me, that experience of perfect love that you give me, you love that way with every single other person. But I know I don't. I know we don't. And so right now, in that space, I want you to ask him this question. Jesus, who in my life do I struggle with loving? He's going to give you someone real quick. I believe it. Just go ahead and ask him that. Be brave. Don't have fear, because there's perfect love. Jesus, who do I struggle loving? Maybe go even a little further, because here's the thing. We may not even have to go outside this building. There may be someone here that you struggle with loving in this room today, or in this body of believers, or maybe your family. Who do I struggle with loving? Now, when he gives us an answer, that's not a place to stop. That's an invitation to go deeper. So ask him now, what do you want me to know about them? Ask him, show me how much you love them. Get ready for that. If you're going to ask him that, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be good. Jesus, show us right now, that person that we struggle with loving, show me how much you love them. ask him, how do you want me to start loving them? Go ahead and listen to him. Go ahead and ask him this question. As it goes deeper, what false ideas and beliefs do I have about this person or people in general, groups of people? Would you show that to us right now? What false ideas and beliefs do I have? Are leading me to fear and separation from either your love or the love for others? What thoughts are leading me to fear and separation? Now take a moment, and if you've heard from him, confess. Confess. Tell the truth. Jesus, I really struggle with not loving. And say the name. Don't say it out loud because it might be awkward if it's the person next to you. Maybe it'll start conversation for reconciliation. Confess. Jesus, this is the false belief that I have about this person. This is the lie that I keep hearing about them, about certain people in my life. I believe that they don't care about me, that they don't value me, that they don't see me for who I am. And so I struggle to love them because I don't want to be hurt by them. Jesus, this is the fear that I am letting grip me. I'm afraid that you don't actually love me. I'm afraid that I'm unlovable, that I'm going to be rejected, that I'm going to be taken advantage of, that I'm going to be hurt and left alone. And so I've been hiding. So I've been avoiding. So I've been bitter, resentful, whatever the thing is that you're dealing with. I'm just being honest about my stuff at times. Now ask Jesus, what do you want me to know right now? What is the one thing that you want me to know right now about your love again? Just listen. Listen. Abide in him. Your love is endless for us. Your love is good. You are faithful. You're consistent. You're perfect. We are made whole in your perfect love. Now ask him, what does he want you to do? See, we've confessed. We've been honest about the lies we believe. We've been honest about the heart and the attitude we've had. And now let's repent. Let's change our mindset. Let's change the patterns of our lifestyle. Let's change and allow God's love to just flow through us. So ask him. Ask him to change your mindset with his truth and with a right perspective. Jesus, we ask for your truth to make things clear in our life. Your love, your perfect love, it drives out the fear and it brings light to our lives. We surrender and throw out the lies from the enemy. We grab hold of your truth. As we get ready to end right now, I want to do one last thing. It won't take long. It could take long. It could be something you take home with you. But I want to look at this list from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, I don't know if you walked in today and you thought, love one another. It's going to be this thing of here's how we love one another. This is what it looks like to love one another. But I didn't talk much about what love, the actions are. I talked about how to get there. But I want to end with this time asking you this question. What behaviors of love can you ask the Holy Spirit to spur on in you? So this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. What behaviors out of that list does God want you to start to ask for more of? To allow the Holy Spirit to produce in your life, to spur you on? It's hard to look at that list. Man, when I see that, I start to get just overwhelmed with fear. If I'm really honest, I see it and I just go, what a horrible person I am. I can never do this. But no, that's not what God's saying to you today. He's actually saying, this is who I am. See, God is love, so he is patient. He is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. He's not easily angered. He doesn't keep a record of wrongs. So it's simple. If you feel overwhelmed with this list, if you feel overwhelmed with going out and loving others, again, abide in him and let him produce this stuff in your life. I wrap up with this. Living whole is only possible with love. God's perfect love sets us free and produces love for others. So today, let us experience God's perfect love. Believe the truth that we are loved. You are loved. And you're set free as a result of that love. But you're set free to live free loving others fearlessly and fully. So let's love one another today. Jesus, we love you. We receive your perfect love. Encourage us to go out and love one another. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve. We're going to conclude. I just want to invite you, if you'd stand with me. Hey, Christine, could you prep the bridge of Build My Life? I will build my life upon your love. I want us to have an opportunity just to sing that before we close today. I want to invite you, though, if you would like to continue to just pray and press in, we'll make that opportunity available to you. So I just want to ask you all, if you are finished with the service and wanting to chit-chat, if you would make your way outside, just not to disturb those who are in here who want to continue to press in. We'll have the elders also back, left, and right here just to pray with. If you would like to just pray through something and believe in the Lord touching you or just dealing with whatever you want to ask God for prayer for. But if you just sing this with me before we depart today. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Father, I pray that that is our heart's desire. As we go from this place, Lord, I pray that we would not be shaken because our foundation is based on your love. I pray we would receive all that you have to give us today. And I know, Lord, you want to remind us just how much you love us. And I'm thankful for that we can have an opportunity as we go today to share your love with those around us. God, may you be glorified in our love. And I pray, Lord, you continue to remind us of your love in us and for us. May you be glorified today as we go in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.